The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Simon, that was the most professional. Is this your first podcast?
Totally is.
Oh my God. Popping cherries on a Monday.
Seriously.
I'm just going to say.
I love this, you guys. I mean, let's greet everyone so then we can gossip and be hilarious together. But welcome to Sidework Podcast. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace.
And we're doing something really fun and new today, and we hope we start a new tradition. But one of our longtime friends and listeners of the pod, who's a fantastic server and human, we're like, wait, why aren't we having y'all as our guests? So today's the day. And I wanted to ask, is it Reince or Reince? Or how do you say
Reince.
Your last name?
Reince. Reince Van Boxel. Cool.
I love that. Okay, yeah. So everyone, please welcome to the show, Simon Reince Van Boxel. Woo! Welcome, fellow Dutchman.
Thank you.
So good. I'm so glad you're here with us. This is very exciting.
It is super exciting.
We're so sick of our friends, you know, so it's nice to meet brand new friends.
Yes.
Yeah. And thanks for like hanging out with us on your day off. I'm sure there's many tasks you have to get done on a day off, but thank you for squeezing us in.
Absolutely.
Other than that, I just read, and look, I know this is not a headline. This is just chat. This is just news chat.
Yeah.
So like McDonald's is pulling out of Russia. They're like not gonna be in Russia anymore. And like I just saw a photo of like people hoarding like huge freezers full of deep freezes full of McDonald's in Russia. People are like, don't take away my quarter pounder with cheese. Like
from what I understand, I mean like McDonald's, okay, so they're going through a process known as de-arching. So the whole country is being de-arched. They're like, you cannot physically look like our brand anymore. The buildings will stay. We will give anyone who was a McDonald's employee 2 full years of guaranteed work. They're not trying to fuck over the workers. Didn't do anything wrong. But they're like, you're about to work at, oh my God, what is the version of McDonald's from like Coming to America?
McDowell's.
Like, yeah, you're about to work at a McDowell's, but like no Mick, no arches. So it's going to go through a whole entire new rebranding. So yeah, I don't think you're going to get your Filet-O-Fish. I think
it's just going to be like, you know, like when you're in a bank that used to be a Taco Bell and it's obvious,
right.
You know, it's going to be stuff like that that's going on. There's going to be like super like creepy old like play places in the front, which like you don't know what is gonna happen to those areas. Like this is hilarious. It's all fucked. Everything's fucked, but it's funny to think about.
It's like one of those things where, you know, God, first of all, Simon, can you confer that we probably talk about McDonald's 2 times a month.
Oh yeah,
on this
Do we talk about?
We talk
like
about
Applebee's is
fast
what
food.
We lean into. Mm-hmm.
We talk about Applebee's, McDonald's. We talk about Cheetos. It's like a service industry podcast with a side of trashy 7-Eleven obsession snacks and fast food. But it was crazy because like McDonald's, it was such a huge big deal for, you know, Cold War era to like break in to the Soviet Union at all. It was yeah. like this major, like, it's so gross that it was like our beacon of Americanism, you know, to be like, welcome to the rest of the world, McDonald's. Oh, yeah. And now
Coca-Cola,
they're like,
Coca-Cola used to be like, I'd like to give the world a Coke. Like, that was the big thing. You're right. It's so 80s. It was basically like Reagan handing, you know, why can't I think Gorbachev like a fucking Happy Meal? You know,
oh my God.
That was like the piece, the little peace branch.
Anyways, and Simon, what's your age range, if you don't mind disclosing?
33.
Okay.
Oh,
so
nice.
We got a decade on you. I was like, you know, sometimes our references betray our old grandma ages. But, you know, and I think we have some listeners who are like 23.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So then that sometimes like the gap can get like really crazy. But anyway, where are you sitting right now in your home? Tell everyone where you're broadcasting in live from.
Coming live from Missouri.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, nice. Where in Missouri are you right now?
Kirksville. It is the cultural hub of Northeast Missouri or something like that. I don't know.
Nice. I'm looking at Brian, who went to school at Southwest Missouri. What? Oh, well, he went to, where'd you go to college? Missouri State. But you lived in Missouri is what I'm saying. So like, Ryan's all things.
Like Missouri State? Is that?
Where'd you go? Springfield.
Oh, okay.
The most haunted city in the country. Ooh. From what I hear.
Really? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of crazy stories from Brian living there. How's your area? Is it pretty haunted too?
You know, I don't think it's too haunted. So got that going for me. Don't have to worry about any spooky spirits.
That's good. Just your customers.
I was gonna say just the regulars. Am I right? Okay. Am I right? Yeah, can't say I've never been to Missouri. I've really kind of like edged all around it. I've been really adjacent. You know, I lived in Illinois for a long time, as did Andrew Bryan, but I never ventured down there. I saw the show Sharp Objects, and then that really turned me off from ever going anywhere near Missouri. But
I mean, the cities are fine. KC is great. The Missouri side's fun of it. Like, I would say, like, you know, I would say like St. Louis is a fun, cool little town, like city. I don't know. I also, that's kind of where I lie. I haven't really like gotten in there to like the thick of it, the real southern part of it. Where are you in the state though? Like, where is it located?
Like, I want to say an hour or so from Quincy, Illinois, and then like an hour from the Iowa border.
Oh, so, right on.
Yeah, right up
great.
In there.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Awesome. Where are you working at there?
I am working at a mom and pop type restaurant. They consider it like finer dining of the area, but it's, you know, I guess it's one of the nicer places in town. And it's at a state park. So I live on a lake, and then I get to go work on a lake. So it's pretty.
Nice.
I love that. Also, yeah. You're making that rocking chair money. I gotta say.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just
my crocheted blanket.
Oh my God. There's a fucking Afghan on your lap. I'm living for this right now.
It's so good.
Well, before we dive into all things you, Simon, let's bop into some fun headlines that we found for the week.
Absolutely. And Andrea, we can drop the one you texted me about. I like the one you put in there instead. So
great.
Here we go. Okay. So this is really cool news coming from New Mexico. And this is really, again, mind blowing when you think of these statistics, but moving forward, we hope there's more of what is now being called the first ever Native American female-owned brewery. First in the country, first ever. But they hope that they are setting the stage for a lot more, you know, equity, ownership, all this stuff. But basically, I thought this was newsworthy because we covered about a year ago how crazy the craft industry is, how there's rampant sexism, there's not room for basically much else other than white men, and this smashes all levels of I think they might be in a relationship too.
Yeah,
so I think it's like a queer married indigenous female owned brewery, which is sick. And I just wanted to shout out, it's called Bow and Arrow Brewing Company, and this is in Albuquerque. And basically they're just killing it. They got in the game. They did your sort of like regular, basically they did all the hits, what you would expect at a brewery, but then they started moving more into like sours, which Andrea, you can speak a little more on a sour. Like what makes
a sour a sour?
And do you drink them? Do you drink them?
I drink sours sometimes. Yeah. I like sour because I like a funky sour beer. It's just like super fermented. It's like vinegary. You know what I mean? It's like the drinking vinegar of beers is kind of how I would describe it. A lot of them are really fruit forward or floral forward, which is really neat because the owners of Bow and Arrow are leaning more into like indigenous plant life,
right?
Native American plant life in the area. So like a peach tree they have on site, lavender fields, which they have nearby. Turns out there is a local hop that just like kind of like freely grows in backyards called Neo Mexicanus hops, which is like really rad. But you know, and they want to start bringing more traditional like corn, blue corn and pumpkin and squash and all these flavors to the beer profiles, which is fucking awesome.
Are you kidding? Like that kind of blew me away because you're just sitting here going like from anything I've ever taken away as in terms of indigenous people who like respect and live of the land, you're like gonna have this beer that you are like, these are like indigenous to America ingredients, which is so cool. And yet you're like, I've not seen this mentioned in beer before. Like they're usually like prickly pear. I also saw juniper and then the sumac, which I thought was just like a Middle Eastern thing, or sumac, maybe sumac, not sumac.
It's sumac. I mean, it's like the same thing, but it's basically just like another like wild plant, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, these being like indigenous plants, like there's so many medicinal purposes to them at the same time. And not only medicinal, but ceremonial purposes. So it's really cool to see all of this activation of like all these ingredients that like, I don't know, that are honoring culture and heritage. And it's pretty awesome.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Sorry. I was just going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
Begay, that one of the women in the relationship with the co-owner, she's also a practicing physician who like believes in plant medicine and the healing powers of these ingredients that are going into their beer. Like this might be the first beer I could drink that does good to me instead of ripping me from a fucking, you know, mouth to anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it. But like, you know, we have a buddy, our buddy Dan that lives in Albuquerque, and he's always posted up. He's actually became a mailman, which is amazing. But he is in Albuquerque now and he loves his beer. There's a huge brewery scene in Albuquerque. It's massive. And he has definitely tagged himself at Bow and Arrow several times and
really?
With like delicious beer posted in front of him. So if we ever get our butts down there like we always say we're going to, I can't wait to go try these delicious beers. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
amazing.
Simon, when you are like located, because you're almost like smack dab middle of the country technically, right? What are some of your favorite like road trips from where you can get to? Like have you ever been to Omaha? Because I mean points.
Yeah, that's like, because I'm from Southwest Minnesota, so like Sioux Falls, South
honey,
Dakota.
Yeah.
And then Omaha, like that, you know, through Sioux City, that's where, you know, my younger days would take me. But,
oh yeah. What'd you do in Omaha in your younger days?
Well, I had some friends that lived there. So we would do, at one of the gay bars, what was it? Flicks or something, share libration. It would be like an all night, like share drag show. Cause I love share. And then we go to the Max and I'd do a few concerts and stuff. But So
I went to the Max a lot when I lived there.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it still hasn't changed.
Probably
I'm pretty
not.
Sure it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
The Max, if you don't know, Brooke, is a huge gay dance club in Omaha. It's kind of like the big one. I think it's been there since like the 80s or 90s and it really hasn't changed. There's like two dance floors and an upstairs pool bar and like it's super fun. I would totally go back.
Makes me feel like getting whiskey sours spilled on me. You know what I'm saying? Like I can already picture the stomach ache I would get from all the overly sugary drinks I had my first couple years ever like hanging in Michigan. There was a really popular one called Spiral, you know, because everything has to have just this sort of like, I don't even know what's about to happen tonight sort of name. And I just, I got some real feels for some late 90s gay bar vibes. So I really do. Well, that's the only reason I mention is like it's really cool living in Southern California where you can sort of be like, I think you could drive to Albuquerque, be mm-hmm. a little bit of a haul. But I'm going to drive to Tucson next Thursday to go see a concert and also check out the Saguaro National Park. So
fun.
It's fun to get on the road.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you are just kind of like, do I want to go to Des Moines or KC right. or St. Louis? Yeah. Maybe I'll go to Chicago. Yeah. Maybe I'll go to Memphis. Like, well, that's a fun
it's a good location.
Yeah. And our latest thing is Amtrak. We take the train to Chicago. It's like a 5-hour trip. You don't have to drive. It. Like, you can just sit and drink and watch the scenery. And
I love it. It's so yeah. easy and
do
fun.
Not underestimate how dreamy and into your own thoughts you can get watching the countryside go by.
Oh my gosh.
I do love a train trip. I've just done a few too many cross country, which I do not ever want to do again. But a nice between 6 and 10 hours is okay with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's short and sweet for sure. Just take a little cat nap. You know what I mean? And then you're there. This next article that I found on Grub Street is pretty hilarious. Apparently, there's a huge demand for sexy cakes right now, you guys.
Sexy.
The want is surging. It's happening. So apparently because of all the backlog of like bachelor and bachelorette parties, and I don't know, I think people are just like super horny. All the sexy cake bakeries are getting a real surge right now. Most of them up 25%, if not more, since before March 2020. Not only that, the cakes themselves are getting racier and racier, very not suitable for work. Cake is being made like basically with there's one it starts off with the article that's basically a jello mold with like I think bananas sticking out all the sides with like a bunch of dicks like coming. That's just a cake that's like three tiers tall.
I'm already picturing the MA, the mature rated Netflix version of where we just see a bunch of dicks and pussies and then the audience has to guess, is it cake?
Yeah,
or is it a real dick?
Is that icing or is it actually semen? Eat it. Let's find out.
Cut it with a sword. Oh my god, it wasn't cake.
It's a dick.
Now, is it a eunuch? Is that PC? I don't know.
But more like BDSM birthday cakes are coming out with like nipple piercings, and even with the words that just say "fuck me" on a chocolate chip cookie are up.
Great.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think we all know that, like, Alito's going to just eat all the pussy cake if things really happen like they're going to. He'll be like, this pussy cake's all for me. It's mine. Nobody gets any. So that's that's the dark side of it.
I think the little, like, there are photos. We could probably post this on Instagram, the great lie we tell every week. We never do it. Anyways, there's this really pretty picture of a cupcake that has, like, a beautiful vulva that mm-hmm. looks like it has a piercing in it, which is just a really nice, you know, as they call it, a jimmy or a sprinkle, a nice one
a
silver.
Jimmy.
You know, like, it's either a clitoris or maybe it's a piercing. But I was like, mm-hmm. that's gorgeous. And I would wrap my mouth around that vulva cupcake. You know,
I just stick my finger right down the
right
center
in the
of
middle.
That, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was a fun story. And yeah, I do. I'm like, and I love that people are like, people are just horny as fuck. I mean, I just don't know what to say.
They're horny
people
as fuck.
People want to eat that cake dick.
Eating our feelings. And a lot of our feelings lately are horniness. So this is perfect. Shout out to us, sidework@gmail.com. If you are currently working at a bakery, making all sorts of ding-dongs and hoo-ha delightful, baked goods.
It'd be funny if there was like the ding-dong ding-dong that was actually like a hostess oh, ding-dong, but
oh
like shaped like a dick. Are you kidding me,
Andrea?
Right now?
Make it.
Yeah.
Why don't we get, there are all these pop-ups happening all over Los Angeles.
All over.
Let's do the
ding-dong ding-dongs. And then we deliver them to your door and ring your doorbell and give them to you. I just fucking slayed 3 times, you guys. See what's going on? I also had a really good idea for a salad name the other day that would be called the Romains of the Day. And then I was like, Bob Burgers probably used this already. And they did, but I still want a salad called the Romains of the Day, guys.
God damn. Pretty amazing.
I'm building my empire in my mind right now. We're going to need investors. Simon can help kick it off.
Yeah.
The Missouri location for sure.
The Missouri. Oh, yeah. Yep. You franchise one of these. Your middle management material, baby. I can tell.
Flagship location in Missouri. Heck for yes. Sure. All right. Let's get out of this goofy rant and into some
server
submitted.
Simon, deliver
stories.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, Andrea, this is a long one, so I split it up. I'll take the first half.
Great.
All right, here we go. Hey, guys, I love the podcast and have been listening almost daily recently to catch up. Way to go. Sorry about all of us in your face every day. It's too much. Okay. So I work 3 jobs, 2 of which are in restaurants on the East Coast in a city that feels like the wild, wild west at times. I've been in the biz in one capacity or another for a decade, and I've got lots of great stories, but one in particular from literally this past weekend needs to be shared while it's still fresh. She texts me. She's like, I had the most fucked up weekend. I was like, we need to read about it on Monday. Hurry up. All right. So she says, I'm not sure what was in the water this week or if Mercury was in Gatorade or what. So funny. I'm stealing that forever. Okay. So my birthday was this week. I took off 3 days for the first time in a while to really prioritize myself. Good thing I did that because my last 3 days of work, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, were literally all bonkers. Saturday night, however, took the cake. Maybe it was a penis cake, but as potentially the worst night of serving and bartending I've ever had. And here's a caveat. I've been spit on by a customer during COVID, and this was worse than that day.
Remember when that was a fucking trending situation? Sorry. All right.
Oh, by the way, we went to Julian's bar opening in downtown LA on Saturday, the Stowaway. He looked like fucking Bobby Cannavale in Vinyl. He was wandering around with a days old beard, a brown velour fucking 3-piece suit, like, hey, let me show you what we're doing. And then at the end of the night, someone punched him in the face. So
great opening night. That's very
right. Bobby, that's an opening night.
That's a very Vinyl, like, that show was full of violence, I feel like. Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Back to the story.
Just talking about wild behaviors. So I worked 9 hours until 3 a.m. on Friday, went home and slept, came back in at 5 on Saturday for my shift. So the night started slowly, but the bar back was sick, so we were down 1 person, just me and the other bartender. Suddenly, I've got about 25 or more people on the patio. They're all sitting on different picnic tables, spread out haphazardly. So I go from doing regular table serve to just full-on cocktail waitressing immediately, and then I'm grabbing cards from everyone. This sounds like chaos. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we have a 60-person capacity or so inside. Again, it's just the 2 of us. The 20-person bar is full, all inside tables nearly full, and in comes the 12 top of 21-year-olds who, as I recall, because I know them, they suck and they don't tip well. They do not tip well at all. So promptly let my coworker know, hey, don't give them that much attention. They tip like shit. And I get back to being in the weeds. Meanwhile, the food is backing up, more people coming in, phones ringing. I was like, did Grubhub blow them up? What is going on? No.
It's not a Tuesday, it's a weekend.
I know, but truly. Okay, the phones are ringing off the hook. More tables, more water. It was hot as fuck outside. Oh, yeah, because the Northeast had a heat wave this weekend. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Okay, so my coworker is completely overwhelmed with the neediness of the aforementioned bad tipping 12 top and cannot help me with the rest of the 40 to 50 guests I'm handling inside and outside. I'm so weeded and dehydrated and just perma-smiling under my neon green N95, but ultimately, I'm killing it. Even when someone says, hey, the ladies' room toilet is overflowing, I'm chill, you know? I promptly put a handmade out-of-order sign up, locked the door so no one could take a shit in the already clogged toilet. This story has everything we talked about last week.
Yeah. Okay. It so does.
So here's where it truly goes south. Eventually, a regular comes in who's more drunk than we could tell before serving her 1 beer. So another regular buys her a 2nd beer, and not long after, her volume is getting much, much louder. She's yelling at the guy next to her. And when she doesn't stop, I nicely ask them to, you know, turn it down a couple notches. Her response, no, I think we're going to be turning it up a few notches. But probably yelling even louder. So she says, no, I am no pushover. I work in a dive bar in a dangerous area, and I'm a small gal who happened to be wearing a pink scrunchie and a cute button-up this weird eve. So I told her, we won't be doing that. Suddenly, she's threatening me and my coworker, yelling at us incoherently about people we've never heard of. She's clearly getting more and more erratic, so I let her know. She's cut off and ask her to leave. She keeps getting nastier. I try to show her the door. She won't budge. And also, like, where is my coworker? Anyway, I grab the phone and pretend to call the cops. No reaction from her, though everyone else thought I was, like, really calling. All this while I'm leaning out the door to help to tell people they cannot drink on the sidewalk. Our liquor license is only inside the fence. Then I pop back inside and keep trying to kick her out. Take it from here, Andrea.
All right, here we go. Eventually, the guy she's been flirting with the entire time next to her, while she ignores my efforts to remove her from the bar, helps me get her out. Mm. And she continues to be a psycho in the alley outside. The phone is still clinging to my ear for my decoy 911 call. And suddenly there's a voice on the other end of the bar. Excuse me, are you the bartender? Can I get some service?
Someone called the bar?
No. It's someone at the other end of the bar while all this is going on. Someone's like, all this chaos. And someone's like, I'm dying. Excuse me.
Okay.
So I'm so frazzled. Wow. Okay. I just kicked some insane woman out of the front, out in front of everyone. And now I'm getting round two. I didn't even come up for air. We're dealing with the situation right now. Well, aren't there two bartenders? Isn't he dealing with it? The phone is still clinging to my ear, 20 pairs of eyes watching this unfold. I feel like I'm on stage in my underwear having the worst nightmare ever, but I continue to keep my cool. I said, well, I was dealing with her, but now I'm dealing with you, and you're talking to me disrespectfully, so I'm not going to serve you right now. She promptly and aggressively told me that she's an excellent tipper and I should do a better job, that her work is busier and they handle stuff like this way better. And I told her I didn't care about the money, to which she asked why I'm even in this business. Of course, I didn't reply. She went into the corner and started actually screaming to her friends to not leave any tip.
Oh, God,
I know this sounds bad. It was. Honestly, though, I won. I never lost my shit, not even once after being publicly berated by multiple guests in a row. No, I'm not a manager. With my middle-aged male coworker essentially useless behind me as I held it down with a still full bar, restaurant patio, and people waiting to pay for carryout. I went outside after it was over and could have cried or laughed. So I laughed. And my regulars helped me break down the patio. The one crazy girl kept yelling about me, about wanting to fight me, as her friends dragged her away. She said again, I better make more money than you. I just laughed at that point. It was so, so extra nightmarish. And it was over. I went home and slept 4 hours and worked a brunch shift at my other job for 8 hours today. I sit here reading to you with a cat sitting at my feet. Thankful I survived the weekend. Just got to get through Monday night burger night. Godspeed and good tips. And we'll write again soon, Jane. Holy shit.
Simon, you look shell-shocked.
Oh, God. It sounds awful.
So this is because it's the first warm days, right? Like, of the season. We've all been, I think this is what happened. And this is, it's like, when everybody just comes out from fucking hibernation, it's that first, like, hot, summery day of the season. And they're like, let's just go fucking destroy a patio in a restaurant. I've been there when you're understaffed because you're not staffed for summer yet. Like,
nope.
And you're fucked. You're just fucked.
And just staffing problems in general, which it's all we continue to hear about.
Absolutely.
You know, I literally, please entertain how much I wanted it to be that while she was like holding the phone as a fake, that someone called the bar, but it was a customer inside who's like, I cannot get this bartender's attention. So I'm going to call the bar and be like, hello, our table's over here. But I'm surprised that didn't happen. You know, I mean, and also words about this other hot shit bartender. Mm-hmm. Well, what the fuck is your problem? You clearly see that all hell is breaking loose. So I don't bet you make more money than her. You sound like a piece of trash. It's just so tough. I think too, what we're seeing, and myself included, to also, many people partied and ignored everything, all of COVID, right? You know, so I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about a swath of us who are like kind of getting out there in a regular way again for the first time. I don't know how it's been for you, Simon, you know, in terms of like going out and just feeling safe, being in public, no mask, you know, free balling it.
Yeah, no, we really don't get out very much because I'm working like, you know, 6 days a week. And then Monday nights, everywhere is pretty much closed. So
right.
We just kind of stay home. But I mean, I'm still masking up like at the store and stuff and even
Same.
At work
yeah.
because like, I don't know where you people have been or
Same,
it
right?
is, it is redneck Missouri. So
totally. But, right. So, you know, and I think what we're seeing is a lot of people who have, probably developed more alcohol dependence than usual over the last 2 years, now being unleashed on the public during it's popping off patio day, which we all know what that feels like. And you're just suddenly at the intersection of like punch, kick, spit, you know, like it's been real. Like I said, Julian got punched in the face on his bar opening night, you know?
That's a good omen, I think, for a lot of people.
It's like a bird. Yeah. It's like bird shitting on your head, rain on your wedding day, Ben Harper's piano player having a psychotic break and punching you in the face. Anyways, name drop. He wasn't booked that night. He wandered in and just turned on the Hammond B3 organ after hours and started playing it. And he was like, who are you? You're not booked. Don't touch our organ. What the fuck? And he's like, don't you know who I am? Pow. Cool people, right? Cool.
I mean, I guess I think it's better that someone like that than like a, I don't know. Maybe I think that's like a bad, because it wouldn't be like an actual like guest. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there. But
just a lot of like too much home alone for the past 2 years. Anyways.
It's like, welcome to be a bar owner, you know, kind of a feel though.
Let me tell you how I would have handled that. I mean, I know that there are the nights when, you know, we're talking about how you're so weeded, so slammed, you're in the flow. Like we said, she had no choice. This was like a hostage situation. This wasn't flow. This was survival, I feel like, which I think is another form of really busy nights, is like you're just surviving. You're a step behind everything, but you're keeping a cool smile on your face. You're doing it. You don't even have a moment to do what I would have tried to do, which was like take shots to numb myself and just get through it. She probably didn't even have a chance to like throw back a drink or two to make it happen. So kudos to you, Jane.
Absolutely. And like, you know what's so funny? And this is what makes me think of this, like the first like summery days on a Saturday when people just start like drinking at 10 a.m. I was reminiscing with our buddy James Dunn several, you know, many, many guest appearances here on the pod about how when we lived in Chicago and we were young, kind of same thing. You would be out like day drinking and everyone would be like, oh my God, I'm so jealous you're out day drinking. I wish I was drunk at 2 p.m. too. And now I just like shivers like go all over my body, like thinking about it. But I don't know, man. Days like this are terrible. I'm like very triggered by this whole scenario. I didn't ever have to like throw somebody out, but like I just remember getting my ass handed to me so hard where I have to like run an entire fucking restaurant for some reason because there's no help. So you guys, please send any server submitted stories inspired by things you've been waiting on over to sideworkpod@gmail.com.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So guys, like we said, we don't have a clever name just yet for this new thing we're going to do. Maybe it's these are episodes called like Meet Your Server or I'll Be Your Server Tonight.
Ooh, I like that.
Simon Reince, right?
Reince. Sorry. Just call me Reince. Simon Donna. Simon Donna.
No. Simon Reince. Reince. It helps sometimes when I spell it phonetically so that I can say it. I hate when I envision every version other than the one that makes sense. I'm like, I wonder if it's like Ryan's, like the name Ryan, but it's Reince. Okay. You're telling the truth, right? You're not just trying to make me sound stupid, right?
Nope. It's the truth.
I'm kidding. Anyways, welcome. You have been one of our first and most steadfast friends of the pod. We thank you for that. We adore you for that. So yeah, we would love to hear about your, you know, yes, you may have written a little bit about it in server submitted stories and such, but tell us your background and how you got started waiting tables and all that good stuff.
Well, so way back when, like, I think I was in like fifth or sixth grade, for some reason, my parents opened a little cafe. And on occasion, I would help out there. Like on Sundays, it would be my sister and I and our classmates' grandmother, like serving a Sunday lunch, like beef commercial thing. Like, what? And I remember I had this outfit I wore every Sunday, this old Navy, like ringer tee matching wind pants and shoes every Sunday. And that's kind of the beginning of things. And then
I know it was like, there wasn't a uniform at your job, but you're like, I made one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
So, and
what did you guys serve? Just like sandwiches and soups and like a special?
I think so. Yeah. And like Island Oasis smoothies. That was my favorite thing to make. But, nice. But yeah, that was, yeah, many, many years ago. And I even asked my mom, I'm like, hey, how long ago was that? Like, how long did I work there? And she kind of had no clue either, but. Yeah, so that was the dive into my serving career. And then I started hosting at a place called The Ground Round. My mom and sister had both, my sister hosted there, served there, and then my mom served and bartended and eventually managed there. And I was there for like 8 years. And in between that, I did summers at Okoboji, Iowa, doing like the banquets, weddings. I even worked at a little ice cream bagel shop too.
Nice.
And then
can I just say too that I'm loving the generational service in your family?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And my mom and sister they're still at that same place and it's been 19 years, I think.
The ground round. Place?
Yeah.
What's their deal? What do they do?
So my mom manages and then basically.
Oh, I mean the restaurant. Oh, like what kind of restaurant is
it?
Sorry.
American, whatever, you know, burgers, sandwiches, steaks, some seafood, Tex-Mex, you know, sizzling fajitas.
Runs the gamut.
Yes. But yeah, and let's see. After Ground Round, it was the Olive Garden.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And that was for, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years. And now my current job at the little Lakeside Dining.
So, I love that. Now, if I recall correctly, so I feel like the Olive Garden feels to me like you're really formative, like gave you, like I know you really, really flourished and thrived at the Olive Garden and you loved working there and made the most of, you know, like what I think people can turn their nose up about sometimes these corporate chain jobs, you made it look spectacular.
Yeah, it was great. Because then too, it was like a step away from my family where, you know, my mom being a manager, you know, people played the, you know, you're a favorite type of thing. But now I was on my own and just kind of working my way up, I guess, in the eyes of the management team or whatever. So that was great. And then I built up, you know, a big clientele of regulars and kind of got myself on a more routine set schedule. Just because of my performance and response from the guests.
Yes.
I love this.
That's got to be really interesting too, though. I guess I never stopped to think that like if your mom's the manager and you're working, that people probably were complaining like Simon gets the best shifts because his mom.
Right. Yeah. But, and I mean, it kind of got like that at the Olive Garden too. Like people would, you know, say I was being played as a favorite because I was getting, you know, some of the prime shifts, but it was easy to show them, no, this is based on, you know, because we had all those stupid like numbers of,
yeah,
you know, performance.
Like, because I'm fucking killing it, dude.
Absolutely.
Like, mm-hmm.
Goddamn,
I
kind of
had that a little bit at Buka. I feel like people are like, well, why? I'm like, well, I have the top sales like every day. So what do you want me to do?
Right.
Like, you know.
Fucking read the numbers, baby.
Yeah,
read them and wait.
I'm gonna win this Primotivo wine contest. You guys fucking wait and see. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Now I assume you were a trainer, you know.
Yes.
And were you a national trainer? Like, would you go open different restaurants?
I did not get the opportunity to do that. I was asked, you know, like if something opens up, but then I think they had already had it filled. I was a finalist for Olive Garden training videos nationwide, but I didn't make it because naturally I exceeded the pool, so they didn't want to have me look better than someone else or something.
I get that for sure. I get that.
That's
for
what
sure.
I tell myself. But yeah,
yeah,
yeah. All of a sudden, my GM like was like, "Hey, I submitted, you know, a big thing about you because they want, you know, servers from restaurants to do training videos. So I hope that's okay." And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then, not a callback, but I got something where like, okay, you're one of so many finalists. So now you need to do a 2-minute video on one of these topics and then we'll go from there. But
I love that.
I didn't make the cut.
You know, we did a riff on Tuscan bread soup. Go.
5 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, tell us about tortellini. Didn't she used to call one of your regulars? Wait.
Oh, Zuppa Lady.
Zuppa.
Zuppa Lady.
Lady.
Yeah. Was,
she'd pick all the spinach out, right?
Wasn't yeah, her the kale. Deal? Yeah. Yeah. And mm-hmm. swirl her breadstick around and read her trashy romance novel that had like a long-haired muscular man on the front with like a sheet blowing off of him.
Love it.
I was like, you know, I know what kind of old person I don't want to be, but she provides a framework for the kind of elderly person I aspiring to be.
Yeah.
Really? You just want to like pull yeah. out kale and like eat very slowly. I mean, it's probably better for your digestive system.
I think I'm talking more about like posting up in an Olive Garden all day long with my trashy romance novels and not giving a fuck.
I love that she's like, I'm just gonna go and like squat at this table and like get horny while like slowly eating
yep.
soup.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's what she's doing. You're like, dude, she's so horny right now.
Mm-hmm. Is she shitting in the bathroom or yeah. did she take a breadstick with her?
Oh,
maybe
my
that's
God.
The only way she can go is by getting horny. You know?
Maybe
a lot to
maybe she was
there.
The wet bathroom bandit. We That'd don't
be.
Know.
We don't know. Now is where's the nearest Olive Garden to you located now?
About an hour and a half south, I think.
And
Columbia.
Do you go?
No.
Do you ever go
I
in
don't.
And big dog them a little bit?
Nah.
Are you like, hey, I don't know if you remember me?
I am Simon, you know, from the Minnesota Olive Garden.
Are you done with Olive Garden? Like, would you still go back? Are you like, you've changed? I'm done with this relationship.
I'd probably go back if I needed to, or if I was in a location, you know, where there was an Olive Garden. Because I
yeah,
feel
but
like
it sounds like you've like landed in something that you're really enjoying.
Oh yeah,
as long as the getting's good.
I just mean to eat.
Oh,
I mean like. To eat the, as a guest. You know what I mean?
Totally.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I visit where I used to live, I'll just, you know, stroll into the back of the restaurant and hang out, say, hey, whatever. Maybe help myself to a dessert out of the dessert cooler. But
nice.
Yeah.
So, okay. I want to hear about the mom and pop spot that you're working at now for a couple of years. This is where Saddle Club happens?
Yes, it is.
Fucking Saddle Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now, for those of us who maybe are like, you know, we always assume everyone's listened to every moment of every episode for 3 straight years. But you wrote in some stories about this like lovely little group of elderly folks, kind of varying ages, but they all seem to be retired at least,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they get together and remind us why it's called Saddle Club and what they do and what they're about.
So I think everyone tells me they're a bunch of old people that used to own horses. but don't okay. anymore. So something to do with that. And they get together the first Wednesday every month. They have their little, you know, formal meal. They do a cocktail hour, then their yes. meal, and then they do a meeting at the end. And it's at our restaurant every month except, let's see, December and January, because we close for the winter.
So, oh, okay. Okay, mm-hmm. got it. What, does the lake get too choppy or something?
Yeah, it gets wild.
Yeah, it gets cold as hell, dude.
Really?
Oh. Okay. Go driving that shit. It probably is a lot of maintenance to, like, for staff to get there. And,
well, yeah. And, like, the roads that the restaurant is on, like, maintenance is, like, non-existent. So people yeah. don't venture out there.
Got it. I was going to ask if it was, like, mostly seasonal anyway, just being in a state park. But, like, only the 2 months, huh? Even February is, yeah. like, not a shit show?
No, we open, like, February because Valentine's Day is, like...
That's your big debut.
Yeah, and it's gotten better. 2020 Valentine's Day was like the worst day ever, but we got over that. We survived.
Yeah, we're so, fine.
Yeah,
everybody's okay. We're gonna keep going. I really would love to see, like, I just picture, like, a Saddle Club, like, t-shirt or pin that's like a martini glass, but, like, instead of an olive, it's like a little saddle on a toothpick.
Yes.
Would be, like, really fun. There, something like that would be so good.
Yeah, it wasn't. So one of the little ladies, I remember, like, it's like your orders would always be like a sassy little apple martini. Mm-hmm. And they inducted you into the club. Aren't you an honorary member of Saddle
yes,
Club?
Yes, an honorary member. I got to join them for two events this winter while we were closed. I was one of their guests. So that's pretty neat.
I love that. Anytime elderly folks invite you to join them for their fun societies and get-togethers, just say fucking yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's so cool. It's just like, it's so eye-opening, and we can all think we're so self-important at our own age and get really ageist, but our elderly are, they're a whole different breed, you know yes. what I'm saying? But so cute. I can't even handle it.
Yeah. I feel like I connect with all of my elderly guests in general, like mm-hmm. Saddle Club and then just regulars. They're mostly elderly. I even have when I was at the Olive Garden, there's an old lady named Gloria. Her and I will still, like, handwrite letters and mail them back and forth.
Oh my God.
I love
that. So is the restaurant, like, generally, like, is it, like, if you want a nice meal in the area, that's the place to go? Like, if you want a memorable birthday experience, like, with the view of the lake.
Yeah, I would say so. 'Cause yeah, there's not really, we've got sushi in town, Mexican restaurants, and then it's called Colton's, which is kind of like a Texas Roadhouse, but, like, not, you know. So ours is more, yeah, dining with a view, more kind of higher end steaks and seafoods, and
doing, like, a kind of farm to table situation.
Not so much farm to table.
She's like, I'm trying to get a feel for it.
But we do have, like, I'm the main front of house guy, and then we have one guy who's the main back of house guy, and he's been cooking for a long time, so he adds a lot of, like, he's got a lot of great ideas and kind of unique twists on things that you can't really find anywhere else. So I don't know,
I love that.
He definitely takes pride in that. So
he's not trying to do, like, the top to bottom Cisco
no
restaurant on the lake menu.
No,
totally.
Whatever that is.
And are you doing events? Are you doing, like, weddings and stuff in the summer ever?
We don't really do any weddings. We do a lot of caterings, and some people do rehearsal dinners, but not so much, like, the formal banquet style, just right. more like a typical.
Yeah. Is this, like, cloth napkin situation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Got it. Okay, cool. Those are my preferred types of roll-ups. Yes. You know, I used to do them with paper napkins, which are different. Sometimes they're more fun because then you put the sticky little tab around them, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. highly enjoyable also. Yes.
Yeah, the tactical, the way it touches your finger is yes. nice, right?
Yes. We've got the paper for the deck, the cloth for the inside. So
very nice. Mm-hmm. So good. And then, so your season is revving up already. I'm sure you're already kind of jumping. Yeah.
Like, ever since February, it's been rocking. And May is, like, the month of hell because there's two colleges in town. And so, like, Mother's Day weekend was college graduation, Mother's Day, high school prom. And then this last weekend was another college graduation. And so it's just, like, group after group nonstop. And yeah, we're waiting for May to be over.
I was going to say, it sounds like the clientele, the food, the coworkers, and hopefully the money keeps you there. Your schedule, in my opinion, when you shared it, you're slammed. You're very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So how many days are you giving them?
Six. I'm there 6 days. And then I'm a dog groomer three of those days. So it's like back to back. So today is my day off, my weekend.
Nice. This is when I sit in my rocking chair.
Yes, with
I've got the Afghan on my lap. And yes. I just think about,
and I look at the lake.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
How long have you been doing dog grooming?
Oh, a little over a year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh no. Is it something that you want to do you see yourself fully transitioning into that, or are you just
I see myself forever being a server.
I like that.
Management, at Olive Garden, they would want me to do what was called a service professional. So essentially a more on the floor manager, but I'm no thanks.
Make more money.
Yeah. Probably, I like the serving aspect way better. Mm-hmm. And less responsibility, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
So is dog grooming your checkout, your fun time to work? And
it's just, no, it's not as fun as it sounds. I get scratches all over my arms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm no, this isn't fun. No, it is. I don't know. Just kind of my chill out time, I guess, when you get a good dog. But I had just been taking our puppy, COVID puppy, to daycare once a week. And then the lady there is would you ever want to work here and maybe bathe some dogs, do some grooming? And I'm maybe I'm always up to learn something new. And then here I am grooming dogs.
Oh my God. You know what? It's extra money for now.
Totally.
You don't have to do it forever.
Uh-huh. I know.
I feel like you got strong-armed into doing it. Maybe you're too nice, Simon. Something about you makes me think you're maybe too nice. And this woman forced you into dog grooming.
Right.
She was like, I just don't like expressing glands. Could you just do it for me?
Barely.
But I mean, obviously you're a dog lover because you have one, Did you guys adopt like a rescue or a little puppy?
No, we got a puppy, a Chinese crested.
Oh.
Because we had one and I don't know, a few months, 6 months, she had heart problems and then she passed away and we're like, okay, we're going to wait a while until we get one. And then we're like, no, we need a dog now. And mm-hmm. we just loved the breed and stuff. So then we got another one.
I love that. Yeah. I officially adopted my foster on Friday. Ooh. She's mine. I've got the papers on that little bitch.
I love.
She's hilarious. Cool. Well, I would say, is there some life advice, some serving advice? You are boots on the ground. You always write in and tell people, I think, really valuable info, especially with that investing in your footwear sort of situation, taking care of your feet. But we'd love to get a few takeaways or some insights if you have them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you might be in the weeds and it's like you're going through hell and it's the worst day ever, but it all comes to an end.
It does have to
yes,
end.
Yes. Yes. It has to end. So.
I love it. You're like, just know that in 4 hours when this dinner shift is over, you'll be in a rocking chair with an Afghan on your lap in the most comfortable place you've carved out for yourself.
Yes.
What I love you can't it. See is he is white knuckling and clutching a boat oar.
are you in the lake?
He's ready to smack you upside the
so
head.
Good. The service is great out there.
So great.
And I think it's awesome that you're like, I love this. I'm a lifer. It's clearly given you the style and quality of life that you want. And, and you to us exemplify someone who goes in with a great attitude. And I think when you do that and put in the work ethic, it does pay you back.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I love it. Simon, this is great. You're the best. I wish we were all in rocking chairs on a porch right now
with Afghans.
Yeah, with Afghans with an apple martinis.
Yes,
coming our way.
Yes, please.
It sounds nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We will always take a story from you, check in, all that stuff.
Andrea, you know what we say at the end of every episode.
Well, and also Simon, yes. We say Godspeed.
Good tips.
All right.
Is that right? Yeah. Good health.
Yeah, you're correct.
Good health.
Good health.
And good riddance to graduation season.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, we've never covered that, but I've never experienced that.
May's a crazy one for the service industry. All right, you guys, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.